because I've been asked several times to preach this message again, and I'm happy to say that the person who's requested this message is here. So sometimes it works out where someone will ask me and say, come on, Pastor, preach the message, and they're not there. So that works out today. Today's message will be from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. And let's just call it a common misquote of the Bible. There are lots of misquotes that go around in our culture. What if I told you that Darth Vader didn't actually say the line, Luke, I am your father? He gets quoted that way, but he never said it. Did you know in the classic Snow White that the Wicked Witch never said, mirror, mirror on the wall? Did not. Even more notorious, the classic movie Casablanca. You will not find the line, play it again, Sam. But it's quoted that way all the time. Just as Abraham Lincoln didn't talk about the internet, Darth Vader said, no, I am your father. In Snow White, the Wicked Witch says, magic mirror on the wall. And Ingrid Bergman in Casablanca says, play it, Sam, play as time goes by. I don't know why those misquotes get out there, but they've just become ingrained into our culture, and I've probably repeated them myself. But there is one quote, a popular saying, that many people will tell you, well, that's in the Bible. Well, it's not. Or they will tell you, when I show you this quote, they will say, well, it's a biblical truth, and it's not. So I put a big red X through it to mark it out. The saying is, God will never give you more than you can handle. Or you might hear it phrased another way. God will never put on you more than you can bear. And it's not true. It is not true. The closest thing you can find to that in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, where the Apostle Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. But this verse is specifically referring to temptation to sin. It's not talking about life's problems. And this verse that sometimes gets misquoted as well is simply telling you that no matter how strongly you are tempted to sin, God will provide the way for you to escape that temptation and not succumb to it. But when people are saying, God will not give you more than you can handle, or God will not put on you more than you can bear, they're usually not talking about sin's temptation. They are talking about the tribulation instead of temptation in life. Now, can you imagine if someone came up to the Apostle Paul and said, in the middle of his trial that he was going through, remember, Paul, God will never give you more than you can handle. How do you think he would have reacted to that? I think he would have said, excuse me? Do you care to repeat that? Oh, Paul, God will never give you more than you can handle. And Paul would say, man, you better check your canteen because there's more than just water in there. Because you aren't thinking in a sober way. And then I can see Paul pointing to what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. There we find these words. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, our troubles, our trials, our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. God put on us more than we could handle. We were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. These verses, clearly, without a doubt, teach us that God will put on you more than you are able to personally bear. And that is something we have to remember as we walk this Christian walk. I want us to examine this text very carefully this morning and break it down and see what we can learn about the troubles of life that come to us and what God is wanting to do in us through them. First of all, we learn you can't be surprised by burdens. Verse 8, Paul said, I don't want you to be unaware. Don't be taken by surprise. Know this is going to happen, brothers. Don't be surprised by our affliction. Some Christians are absolutely amazed when after they come to the Lord, not only do they find that they have trouble in life, but oftentimes they find they have even more trouble that comes their way. But Jesus said, don't be surprised by this. In John 16:33, Jesus said, in this world you're going to have trouble. He didn't say you might. He said you will. Oh dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, the Christian life is not a cushion. It's a cross. A cross we're all called to bear. So let's look at the truth of burdens. Do not forget who is writing these words. This is the great Apostle Paul. Half of the New Testament in your Bible that is in your hands this morning flowed from his quill. Following his conversion on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, no one loved Jesus more faithfully. No one preached the gospel more fervently than the Apostle Paul. And yet we find him saying in verse 8, I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of the trouble we had in Asia. Now, if the Apostle Paul had burdens that he couldn't lift, things that he couldn't handle, what makes you think you won't? Your salvation does not exempt you from trouble, and your service does not excuse you from trouble. Jesus even warned us that the world is going to treat us the same way it treated him. Now remember, Jesus was perfect. And how did the world treat him? He was despised, rejected, maligned, mistreated, arrested, beaten, and nailed to a tree. I love the old classic hymn by Isaac Watts. am I a soldier of the cross? There's some lines in that hymn that speak to us. Isaac Watts asked a couple of questions. He asked, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend of grace to help me on to God? Don't be amazed about the truth of burdens. But I'd also say you should not be amazed at the turmoil of burdens. Again, in verse 8, Paul wants to educate them about the affliction that befell him in Asia. Now, we're not exactly sure what this is. The Bible doesn't elaborate on what experience Paul is describing. But in the middle of that, Paul's language tells us about the severity or the intensity of the trouble. The word for affliction in verse 8 in the Greek speaks of pressure, but not just a little bit. The word describes being crushed, being ground under a millstone like grains turned into flour. So you could expand that translation where Paul is saying, we were burdened to the point of being ground up like wheat is into flour. We were weighed down. So we don't know exactly what it was that Paul went through. But he said, it was pressing down on me to the point that I could no longer stand it. It was more than he could bear. It was more than he could handle. And it was so much so, did you see what he said? That we despaired even of life. He thought that he was going to lose his physical life in this ordeal. Have you been there? Have you faced a burden in this life that left you wondering, how in the world can I possibly survive this? Have you ever felt the affliction of the soul come upon you to where you feel like you're just being crushed or ground up like wheat into flour? Don't be surprised that Paul says, hey, it happened to me. And don't be surprised when you also say, hey, it happens to me too. You can't be surprised by burdens. Let's look at the second thing. You can't stand under burdens. Remember now, this is the Apostle Paul writing. And he's telling us that this trouble is beyond his strength. This is the same man who later on, in this letter that we call 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, is going to say, hey, I was beaten with rods 3 times. I was stoned, left to the point of death. 3 times I have been shipwrecked. I even spent a full day bobbing up and down out there in the ocean, swimming with the sharks, wondering if I was ever going to see land again, basically. This is no weak-kneed, fair-weather follower of Christ. And he's saying, man, but boy, sometimes the troubles come and they're just too big for me to bear. Just like Paul couldn't stand up under his burdens, you're going to have some in your life that you're not going to be able to stand up under either. They're beyond our ability to handle the hardship. But I want you to know that these are not things that slip by the will of God. Oh, we are often tempted to go, Lord, if you're really there, you wouldn't let this happen. Lord, if you really loved me, this terrible thing wouldn't have been going on in my life. And God's going to say, where did you find that in my word? It's not there. Instead of being things that slip past the will of God, we need to understand that the things we can't stand up under are from the will of God. For you to understand that, you got to let God show you the truth. God must show you the truth about what you're going through. Look at verse 9. Paul goes on with his description here. And he says, we had the sentence of death within ourselves. That's a judicial term. Paul was saying, it's like I was tried and found guilty, and the verdict is in, and the sentence of death was placed on us. I can't imagine a situation more desperate than being condemned to death row. You're totally powerless to do anything. When I read of a situation like this going on with Paul, and I have to ask myself the question, God, why would you allow your very choice servant, Paul, to go to a place that is so dark, so difficult, so desperate, that he could only see death in his immediate future? But I don't have to wait very long for the answer. Look again at verse 9. You might want to underline this one in your Bible. Indeed, we have the sentence of death within ourselves, and here it is. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God. There it is. In black and white. Right there in the pages of your Bible. This is a great verse for you to know. When life gives you more than you can handle, when the pressure is more than you can bear, God allows this. God does this. So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Wow. God does not want you to depend on your own abilities, because you'll always fall short. But he wants you to depend on his sufficiency, his ability to do all. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul confesses and he says, for I know nothing good dwells in me. And he says, that is in my flesh, my body. For the willing is present, but the doing good is not. I don't have the ability, is what Paul is saying. Now that's a hard lesson to learn, because all of us want to be self-sufficient. We want to be independent. We want to be competent in what we do. We don't like to think of ourselves as weak and unable to handle the situations of life. We like the poem Invictus, right? In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed, right? We like that, yeah. The only problem is God knows and we know that's not the truth. Our strength is not sufficient. Our abilities are not enough. We get our head bloodied and we get our head bowed. But don't you see, is this not the heart of the gospel message? It's the heart of the gospel message. Jesus died for us when we were like Paul, without strength. God has to show us that only he can save us, and we cannot save or trust in ourselves. So we have to let God show us this truth. So not only must God show us the truth, then what happens next is God must shape you
with trust. Paul said that God let this happen so that he would learn not to trust in himself, but in God who raises the dead. If you walk away from this message today and you get this simple principle, this simple truth, you got it. God will bring you to your knees, putting on you more than you can stand up under, so that you'll look to him as his only hope, as your only hope. When you get to that point, you are right where God can shape you and make something out of you. The principle. While God will put on you more than you can bear, he will never put on you more than he can bear. So don't be surprised by burdens. Remember, you can't stand under burdens. And let's wrap this up with this great promise. You can be sustained in burdens. You ever find yourself caught up in one of these reality TV shows or something? And let me give an example. One time I was watching the Weather Channel some years ago, and they were showing the story of this older couple, married couple, and they had driven through, it was late in the season as winter was approaching, and they were trying to get through a high mountain road that closed for the winter. And even though the sign said road closed for the season, they thought, oh, well, the snow hasn't come yet and they can get through. And when they got to the high mountain pass, a sudden snowstorm came in and the snow just kept piling up and they got stranded. And nobody knew where they were. They didn't have a cell phone or anything. And the snow piled up and it began to cover up their car. They were able to run the car for a little bit for heat, but eventually the gasoline ran out, and so they had no heat in the car. They were melting snow. They were having to roll the window down to keep snow away because the snow was piling over the car so they didn't suffocate. And it was an amazing deal. And as they were showing this ordeal and telling the story, and you found yourself looking at it going, oh, did they survive? But then they would cut to them and they would tell them, talking about the experience. And you go, oh, yeah, they did survive, because they're later talking about it, okay? So but then later, oh, did they make it? Oh, yeah. This is one of these. We know that Paul lived through it because after the fact, he's writing about it, right? Don't miss this. God brought Paul to a situation there where he thought he was going to lose his life. But God didn't abandon him, because Paul's able to write about it later. And even if Paul did not survive it, God still would not have abandoned Paul. He was going to deliver him through it, no matter what. Look at this great 10th verse. Who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, he will yet deliver us. Remember what God has proven to you. What God has already proved to you. Paul says, I have learned to trust God who raises the dead. Looking back on the experience, Paul is saying, man, I was as good as dead. But God showed up and delivered me. Listen to what Paul is saying. This is no time to get spiritual amnesia. If you're going through a present trial, look back through your life and think about some other trials, some other things that have come your way. Yet God was faithful in those things. Remember when you didn't think ends were going to meet financially? Yet God sent what you needed right on time. Remember that time your heart was so broken that you thought you'd never recover? Well, God comforted you and brought you through it. And most of all, remember when you were lost in your sins. Death was the only prospect that you faced. Then you looked to the cross of Jesus and you cried out for mercy. And God saved your soul from hell. Do you remember what God has already proved to you? We sang about it just a moment ago. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. You can trust that you'll be sustained in your burdens, not only when you remember what God has proved to you, but also when you remember what God has promised to you. This is the God, Paul said, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. This is Paul saying, not only did God deliver me in the past, but he's delivering in the present, and he will deliver in the future as well. I don't know about you, but I'm a little crazy. I have this weird belief that God is still alive and well today. That he's still working on the behalf of his people today. And call me crazy, but I also believe you can trust in his promises. And that he will continue to deliver until he brings the ultimate deliverance from sin and hell. Adoniram Judson was one of the first missionaries to penetrate the old country of Burma. It's now known as Myanmar. For years, Judson struggled to reach anybody with the gospel. The work was unbelievably difficult there. He had a young son die of disease. His wife was always sick and in poor health. The language that the Burmese people spoke was so difficult for them to grasp. It took him 4 years to see one soul converted to Christ. After 17 years of ministering there, he only reported that 10 people came to faith in Christ. And with that kind of track record, Mr. Judson was asked one time, "What do you believe are the prospects for the speedy, quote unquote, speedy conversion of the heathen in Burma?" And without missing a beat, Judson said, "The prospects are as bright as the promises of God. It may not look very promising for you right now, but remember this. Don't doubt in the dark what you've seen in the light. Don't doubt in the dark what you've seen in the light. Jesus promised he'll never leave you or forsake you. God has said over and over again that his promises are faithful and true." Paul would write later, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Rest in this. God, I can't handle it. I can't stand up under it. It's impossible. So God, I'm going to trust you as I go through this. God, I'm going to lean on you. God, your strength is going to have to carry me. But God, I know that you're going to sustain me in this burden.
God, I know you've delivered me in the past and you are in the process of delivering me now. And no matter what comes in the future, God, you'll deliver me yet. So where are you? Are you feeling like Paul in Asia a little bit right now? Thinking, man, I don't know where my next breath is coming from. God has not lied to you. Others may have told you that God will not put on you more than you can bear, that God will not give you more than you can handle. They have lied to you, but not God. So where the rubber meets the road for this today, don't try to muster the strength to carry on. Instead, give up trying to trust in yourself. Place your full faith and trust in Jesus. Because remember, as Paul said, he's the one who can even raise the dead. Let's pray. Father, no one raises the dead but you. You are the only one who can deliver, who can save. And so, God, I do pray for those who are struggling under the great burden of life that may be upon them now, whether it be health, emotional, spiritual darkness, whatever it is, God. I pray that you'll help that person, those persons, Lord, to cry out to you and say, I can't handle it on my own. But God, in faith, I trust in you. Lord, I pray that you'll help them to reach out in their desperation and take you by the hand. And Lord, as they walk through the valley, they have walked through the valley clinging to you. Lord, if there's one that's not received Christ as Savior during this invitation, this chance to respond to the message, I pray that you would bring them. Father, I pray that your word would change us into a people who trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen.